the 311 Radio Show, where we learn all about the work of the Barbados Fire Service, focusing towards a safer Barbados.
Welcome to the 311 Radio Show. Now, how much do you know about fire safety, community resilience, and the work of the Barbados Fire Service? In this program, we're going to look at the topic of the week and discuss it, fire service news, do's and don'ts of fire safety, memorable fire or an accident in Barbados, and we're going to have some fun, of course, listening to the 311 Radio Show with Natasha Ford. She's our fire prevention officer, Andrew Carrington, a fire officer and technical man in the fire department, and Dylan Turton. He's not only a fire officer, but he's a personal trainer on the side. He has the muscles to prove. All right, so let's get into the program and say hello to everyone that's present right now. Hello, Natasha.
Hi, hello. Good afternoon.
Hello, Andrew.
Hey, good afternoon.
And Dillian.
Hi, good afternoon.
All right. So, the topic of the week. What would the topic of the week be this week?
This week, what we're looking at is technical rescue. We've had persons coming up and asking the question, why does a rescue take so long? Why is it that persons in fire service don't just have persons out within like 5 to 10 minutes? So, we want to bring a bit of awareness, the activities that go into it. It's not just a case of wrapping a rope around a guy and pelting him inside of a house. Some people
That's
probably
a deep subject.
As some probably people seem to think, it's a lot more technical than that. There's, apart from the strength aspect, there's also the psychological aspect that people fail to realize. So you have to always be mentally prepared. And again, as we said, we have Andrew Carrington here to go more into that. Since the last two rescues we had, he would have been a part of that.
Right.
And Mr. Turton to talk about how to put those muscles, or sometimes lack of muscles, into work with the equipment that we have.
So I'm taking it that within the fire service, there are specialists.
Of course.
Who deal with these things.
Of course. We have to have hazmat specialists. We have to have the rescue personnel. It's not just a case of just fighting fires or just going out there and trying to execute a rescue. You have to know the equipment that you're supposed to be using. You have to know the best way to angle stuff, how many persons you're going to need to effect that rescue. And not just effecting a rescue, but we want to make sure that there's always safety. Not only safety for the rescuers, but also safety for the victim as well.
Okay, well, let me turn to Andrew Carrington, fire officer, and of course, in the fire department, he's one of the technical guys, and ask him, a man is in a well, what are we looking for to be safe?
Well, first, let me say thank you for actually bringing some awareness to this subject matter. It's a pleasure being here. Technical rescue. Person in a well, no, first thing, as a rescuer, you must make sure that whatever you go on the scene does not also compromise you. So seeing safety is paramount. There's this illusion that because a person is injured, as much as you will want to affect a rescue and offer assistance, you, the rescuer, must first make sure that you do not also fall into his pitfall.
Oh, so you could fall in the well with your man.
Well, it makes no sense.
Two people want rescue.
Okay, so you see, so whatever the issue was, you must now mitigate that, first and foremost.
But not only that, but when you get back to the fire station, mm-hmm. The fellas will laugh at you and Natasha.
Of course.
Because
I'll not say this at this forum, but there have been times things have happened.
All right. So you're looking for the best way, the safest way to get that victim from demise or danger.
That is correct. That is correct. You must first, with all earnest, seek out what are the hazards, and you must first mind them before you even attempt to get at the victim. Once those parts are covered, then you can go ahead now and try to ascertain as much information as you can from persons on scene.
All right, some of the things that we look for, persons, especially in a well, you have to think in terms of the air supply down there. Mm-hmm. Is it a case
that... I like
that
your music, by the way. Is that some real good songs? You put that down there, then stop as long as you want.
You don't want that.
So we call, of course, with our gas meters to make sure that there's the adequate oxygen down in there.
Oh, okay.
Again, as he said, it makes no sense sending personnel in there. Then we're going to have two victims. The first victim and then the rescuer. So then somebody has to rescue the rescuer and the victim.
And you have the domino effect.
Yes, Dillian Turton, you've been in these situations. And how unnerving is it? Because I've never had to pull anyone from the well or anything like that.
Yeah, well, I mean, it plays on you a little bit because now you have to look at the whole situation on a whole. Because now you have this person who needs your help. obviously sometimes they're panicking, they want to get out in a hurry. But now you have to take your time and figure out, okay, how this person got in, and how we're going to take them out without creating more problems. And like Andrew rightfully said, we have to mitigate for the scene safety. And once that's done, then we have to find what is best and work on the different little technical aspects and try to bring this person out as safe as possible without creating more problems. So yeah, once we have enough people on board and we have the right situation that we could, you know, set up and make sure that we bring this person out safely, then we go straight to work.
When is the last time you had to pull someone from a well?
It's about 2 years ago.
Well, that's that recently.
Yeah, about two years ago.
That was
his.
Mine. Oh, you. For me, 2 years ago.
Mine was more recent than that.
Yeah. When was yours?
This was just a couple short weeks ago, probably about two weeks ago.
2018.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. This month.
Well, I mean, I've heard ding dong bell. It wasn't the body anyway. Hey, all the best, man. And I'd like to thank the Barbados Fire Service for making sure that we are safe. Whether we, you know, sometimes we get a little clumsy and everything. So, and then we call you. We don't usually think of the Barbados Fire Service until we're in absolute trouble.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then we get to calling them. Now, let's look at what's going on with the fire service news.
Mm-hmm. One thing that we've recognized is that, yes, we know we had rain when we didn't expect it. It was the dry season. We were seeing lots and lots of rainfall. Now we've had we're going into our dry period. We're dry season. We're not having that much rain. And as we said before, once the grass is tall, once the sun comes out, there's no water, the grass is going to dry.
Oh.
And of course, we've had the increase in grass fires. Persons failing to clean up around them, persons, and let me point out right now, there is a no burn policy.
No burn.
No burn.
So you cannot burn any
You are
any
not
stuff.
Supposed to burn. Any burning is supposed to be done with the assistance of the Barbados Fire Service, which we do control burning. Persons think that we're heaping up their rubbish or bush or grass, whatever, in a bundle that is considered to be controlled. You do not have all the prerequisite parameters around there. Have you made a break? Is there a case that you do have your hose there with copious amounts of water coming? Sometimes it does not happen. We had some last week alone, a lady was burning a small area of Cowich and the wind picked up and just took that fire. It was out of control, let's put it that way.
It became a wildfire. Wow, so we need to watch ourselves and be diligent. We shouldn't burn, first of all. And then if we have to burn a patch of property or whatever, we should call the Barbados Fire Service.
We should always notify the Barbados Fire Service.
All right. And also, if I may say, Dillian, burning stuff, mm-hmm. It affects people with respiratory problems. Huh?
And that's the main issue. Most people have Barbados has a lot of asthmatics. So from time to time, you will get someone complaining of the smoke. So you might be burning the fire and the fire may not be affecting the people close by, but the smoke travels for miles and miles and those people end up having respiratory issues, and those are the ones who complain the most. So try to look out for your neighbors, because from the time you start to burn anything, your neighbors are getting affected. You know? Most of the time people would think, okay, it's just my yard, or it's just this little piece of patch. Like Natasha said, it's just a little heat. But then that smoke travels. So you know your neighbor is affected, and then the neighbor beyond that is affected. And it just creates a snowball, and we don't want that.
So stop burning the stuff and everything out there. Have you ever experienced someone who's burnt stuff indiscriminately and then caused a large fire?
Several times we've encountered that over my 22-year span. You had sometimes even kids on the vacation time who might be, you know, being a little playful, as kids tend to be, a little mischievous. And before you know it, it has ended up with the entire house being compromised. So, from time to time, you encounter persons who get in over their head.
So don't play with fire.
Be advised.
A little fun with fire could end up in a whole big house fire and you lose all your belongings and everything like that. And it must be devastating when the Barbados Fire Service turns up and sees those kind of fires and the loss and damage that has been done to people's properties. We want to tell you to turn to the Barbados Fire Service. If you have stuff to burn, Natasha has just told you to call them. What's the number to call?
The emergency number, 311.
311.
311.
Oh, yeah, this is the 311 radio show.
Exactly.
The easiest numbers in the book. So call 311. Any stuff that needs burning or anything like that. And please do not play around with the fire, especially you school children. They're going on vacation soon from now.
Yes, so a word to the wise, especially for parents who have school children, especially around kite flying time. Some people like to clear the cane fields, and the children would go and, you know, like the trash, just to have that area that they can play. Not sure if the crop season has started cutting cane as yet. At school breaks in about another week or so. So parents, again, please advise your children. Yes, the trucks are pretty and everything else. They can come to the fire station and have a tour. Turton will be willing to give a tour.
For sure.
Carrington will be willing to give a tour. And all the other officers at the other stations.
Yeah.
If they want to see the trucks, the appliances, as we call them, not stoves, not machines that we're talking.
Trucks
are normally called appliances.
So you call the trucks appliances as a service. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If they want to see them, we can do tours. You don't have to book. You can just come in during vacation time and just ask the officer, you know, I want to see the truck. I want to get on the truck. And they will be willing to give you a tour.
We are
a community service.
I work just up the street from there. I didn't know you accept walk-ins.
Yes, we do.
Like a good old hairdresser, man. Just walk in and get your tour on all those fire trucks or the appliances, as they're called, at the Barbados Fire Service. Which brings me to the do's and don'ts of fire service. Safety for us, the people in Barbados.
You're listening to the 311 radio show.
As the kids come out from school, please do not call us making prank calls. The time that we spend on the phone trying to figure out what's really going on, someone else may be in serious trouble and we have to help them as well. So please do not make prank calls. It's not a fun thing to do just to call the fire service just to hear us talk. So please don't do that.
All right, I'm sorry about that. You know, I was young and impressionable. don't call with the prank calls.
Yeah.
Okay, what else should we do?
At this point in time, again, Jude, that this is the
dry season,
we're asking homeowners to be cognizant of your property, look around your property. If you have any dry bush, any dry grass, at least make sure that there's a clearing 4 to 6 feet away from your house. Try to keep the grass at about three inches. I ain't sure these metric measurements.
We know you're not the technical.
We're asking you to keep the grass as short as possible. Mm-hmm. This helps to protect you in case there is a fire. Your neighbor decide to come home and burn rubbish or whatever. It stops from coming to your house and affecting you. Therefore, it goes from a grass fire to a house fire. So be mindful of these things at this point in time.
If I might chime in here as well, you know, we as house owners, parents and stuff, we tend to provide our kids and our homes with every luxury and an amenity that we can afford. But something as simple as a smoke detector or fire extinguisher, even a fire blanket in the kitchen, these are things that any household owner can purchase, you know, and at an affordable cost. And it doesn't take much just to have the extra security in the home.
So you find someone would build a whole big mansion and then don't put in smoke alarms.
$550,000. Ever listened to the real estate listings and see how much these houses are going
it's
for?
True.
Good. People refuse to spend at least $180 to protect their investment.
A smoke alarm.
Smoke alarm and extinguisher.
An extinguisher. So a smoke alarm and extinguisher, they're part of what you put in your home. And we still have to come to scratch on this? I mean, I thought in 2018, Barbados, who I consider some of the most intelligent people in the world, would know a smoke alarm. And you called something there a fire blanket.
Fire blanket.
Go a little bit more into that.
Well, it is less intrusive as an extinguisher. It's a specialized material. And if you're using, like, on the stove and you have, like, open flame on, say, a frying pan or whatever, and you do have an issue, you can take it out. And once you cover the area, not the stove itself, the frying pan, the problem that is involved, it smothers and extinguishes the fire.
All right, so if I'm going to look at the do's and don'ts, do inspect your property for dry brush or grass and keep the grass low. Don't call the Barbados Fire Service with your prank calls, especially over the Easter, summer, or Christmas vacations. And do install smoke alarms. They're very inexpensive when you think about losing that $500,000 house as opposed to how much a smoke alarm cost. And get a fire blanket for the kitchen. I'm going to get one. I don't have one yet, but I will get a fire blanket for the kitchen. Right now, I've been using my mother-in-law. She's a wet, she's a wet blanket. I believe the fire blanket is the one to be suggested.
And this is not the one that you're pulling off your bed. And you know that is a blanket. That is not a fire blanket.
Okay, so a fire blanket. You have to ask for those specifically.
Yes.
All right. So what's a memorable fire or accident that we've had in Barbados in the past? Ooh. Could you take us back to one of those incidents that you might find more memorable?
Yeah, there's the top five. Probably not me. I don't think there's one. We've had some major incidents that I don't think a lot of Bajans probably forgot. We had the Charles River event. It was the East Coast. The Charles River event with the tour bus. That was particularly hard. And the campus trains, no one can forget about that one. We still mourn that one, yeah. And lost with the families. A lot of people believe that the rescuers do not feel it, but there's an emotional side to what we do. And there's no great loss that you can express into words to people who have lost loved ones. But you try to be, you know, as prepared for the next one as you could. We had the Arscott incident, where the structural collapse of Britain's Hill, that was again.
And you worked at that one.
I worked at all so far.
And I want people to think about the Barbados Fire Service. The name, the name kind of alludes to fire.
Yes.
But it's really fire.
Fire and disaster.
And rescue. Yeah,
fire, you call it rescue.
Yeah. Fire and rescue.
But it's only rescuing unless there's some kind of disaster to help them. So, you know, you guys and your impeccable service must be commended for being there over the years. How old is the Barbados Fire Service?
Wow. 63 this year.
The Barbados Fire Service. Okay. Andrew, you just mentioned that when you turn up on a scene of a fire or a disaster or a rescue, that there's an emotional component that goes in there. How much of a psychological challenge is it for a fire officer to enter or look at someone's house actually being destroyed? Sometimes a fire officer might have to go to his own neighborhood to dispatch a service or whatever. What kind of psychological process goes into that?
Well, I will say this. When you get on the scene, the public, the persons that we serve, are expecting, and we are supposed to inspire confidence in the public when we go up there. They do not want to see us frantic, because they themselves have lost the control of the situation.
It's true. A fireman turn up and he looked nervous.
So when we get on the scene, you know, some persons believe because we don't show a physical emotion on the face than the countenance that we do not care. And we just do this as just another incident, but that is not true. It does resonate with us. It does have an effect. But as I said, we must inspire the confidence of the public. So when you go there as overwhelming a situation as it might seem, as daunting as it seems, you must still manage to keep a certain decorum about yourself. So when you go into, as you said, it could be your neighbors. It could be persons that you've seen struggle over the years, you know, to put this little thing together, and within 15 minutes it's all gone. They're totally lost as to where they will go to next. They have no idea as to what will happen. Now, you would like to console them, you know, in the way that a human person would do, but by you, you are still have to keep a certain level of detachment because you are still on call for the next incident.
And professionalism. Okay.
Yes, you must. You must. So it is a bit of a tightrope we walk in terms of the emotional and psychological effect it has on us. Sometimes when we come back, we detox informally, you know, but if there's something major, the services are provided by network services from the department for the guys to go and have a chit-chat, you know, just to get it off the chest. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, we find that we have to in-house to, you know, deal with the matter. Yeah. Because, like I said, it's a 10 hours during the day, 14 hours at night, and you can have numerous calls. So you really can't dwell on one incident for too long.
Well, I find you all are doing a great job, because if I count the amount of fires that are in Barbados, I mean, Natasha Ford, the fire prevention officer, is preventing a lot from happening that could really turn out in another way. Yeah. Now, this sort of work must call, I mean, you mentioned a psychological component, and then there's a physical component. Mm-hmm. You know, it must call for a certain amount of training. What kind of training would you have to go through, mm-hmm. Dillian Turton, to become a good fire officer? Because you could be a recruit and get in there, mm-hmm. but then you have to have the experience of people like yourself. And Andrew and Natasha.
Yeah, well, continuous training is one of the hallmarks of being a fire officer. We are always training. It's constant. And not just in our work, but also in our own physical strength. A lot of cardio work, a lot of strength training. And we also tend to try to train within wearing our suits, because our suits take a lot out of us. A lot of people don't understand the suit.
The suit is heavy, huh?
It's heavy. It has at least
40 to 60 pounds. The suit is 40 to 60 pounds?
When you have on the full gear, helmet, ear pack, mask, and the boots bunker suit, everything adds to the weight and how much work you have to do.
With the tools now.
Right. So now you've got tools to work with, and our tools are heavy. We have a lot of steel heavy tools. Yeah. And so you're working hard. From the time you put the suit on, you're sweating. So our physicality has to be at a certain level. So we have to work harder than most people do. Even when in our training, 2 minutes in our suit takes a lot out of you. Just 2 minutes. So we have extended, protracted incidents that we have to stay, you know, strong for that whole time, hydrated as well. So our health is important. Our nutrition is very important, and our training is continuous yearly.
So a lot of physical training all year long.
All year long.
Well, it shows, man. He got the muscles to prove it. People, I mean, seriously, this man, he looks like he works out. Even if he doesn't have to train at the fire service, looks as though he lives out all iron someplace else. You know what I mean?
Always.
What does that say about Carrington?
Hello. Variety.
Let me touch on that quickly. Yeah. For the public, Andrew may not look the part, but I'm sure if I need him, he can take care of me just as well.
Yeah. That's Carrington is a technical man, you understand? He's working with the jaws of life and hydraulics and all sorts of things, you understand? That's what we're talking about. Now, this is the 311 radio show. I'm going to leave the last word to Natasha Ford.
So, in closing, remember, when we turn upon scenes, whether it be a rescue from a vehicle or rescue from a well or even a ravine, whatever the case is, there is a lot of that has to go into play. The guys have to make sure that the scene is safe for themselves first and foremost. They have to make sure that, you know what, we don't cause any further injury. There's also a thing about crowd control. So you, the general public, we know you're anxious to get your loved ones out, but please, we ask you, just step back and give us that much needed room we need to do our jobs.
This has been the 311 Radio Show with Natasha Ford, Fire Prevention Officer, Andrew Carrington, Fire Officer Technical, and Dylan Turton. He's a fire officer and also a personal trainer, and he got the muscles to prove it. Join us next time for the 311 Radio Show from the Barbados Fire Service.
That was the 311 Radio Show, as we heard from the Barbados Fire Service. Join us again next week right here on VOB 92.9 FM at 1:30 p.m. for the next edition of the 311 Radio Show.